Thank you, Ronald, for those practical pointers on leading effective meetings. Next up, we have Structure That Works by Rodney Leibold. We'll give him our attention.
Thank you, Ronald. So we had the meeting, now what? Ronald had pointed out that if the decisions don't get followed through with, it didn't help anything. I thought of the old adage, failing to plan is planning to fail. And Christian Light's instruction to students, especially in the individualized setting, would be plan your work and work your plan. So I'm going to talk about basic structure and then assignment of board responsibilities, delegation of tasks, and finally accountability. So thinking of basic structure, I would advise that we do need to be flexible, though. So there are different basic structures of how boards are set up that work better in various situations. There's the old golden standard where you have a three-man board for a three-man term, and your chairman the first, or your chairman the last year. You are, the guy that fixes things the first year maybe, and the secretary the second year, and the chairman the third year. As schools have grown and responsibilities have grown, some schools have started to sub out some of that work. There might be a treasurer that's not a member of the school board. That's how we have it at Fairhaven. I know in some companies they have out-of-house payroll. Even something like that might work if in a larger school. So be flexible with your structure, whatever that your structure is. Other schools have decided to organize within the board. The advantage of that is that it might be especially a small school community that doesn't have that many men available, and there might be someone who would be a good member on the board, but for whatever reason, maybe he wouldn't be the best chairman. And so they organize within the board. Or there might even be a minister that's on the board, but they decided that they don't want the minister to be chairman because of the extra work. And so there's a structure where each year they organize within the board, so the chairman might be chairman 2 years or 3 years in a row. And someone could be on the board and off the board without having ever been a chairman. So there's room for flexibility. I know of another school that I taught for them at Cedar Grove. At that point, we had the school at one place and the church was down the road. And then they built a school right attached to the church. And now the same building was the school and the church. And they had a number of other committees within the church. And so they decided that they're going to have a five-man board instead of two different three-man boards. So they actually reduced the board numbers by one. And the school board and the church board are the same committee. So various things can be done. Do remember that someone shouldn't have to be on the school board, the church board, the mission board, etc. all at once. And this next one I say a little lightheartedly, take it easy on the farmers. Dodge Ram a few years ago had used a Paul Harvey poem for their advertisement, and it talked about how that God made the world and then he needed someone to take care of the animals, he needed someone to take care of the things, and one of the verses was that God said, I need someone who will get up before dawn, milk cows, work in the fields all day, eat supper, milk cows again, and go into town till past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. We heard too that there years ago farmers were the staple of the boards, and now there's a lot of other people, and that brings good diversity to it. Assignment of board responsibilities. It's important that each member on the board knows what his responsibilities are. And then it's important then that you stay within your role. That's a good way to get yourself into trouble, is when you go play Mr. Chairman when you're not. It's important to know your role and to stay within it. It might be helpful for these things to be written down. When I joined the board at Fairhaven, I was given a paper, and it was quite detailed that the first year I'm on, I have this, this, and this, and this are my responsibilities. In the second year, the first year it was this, and this, and this. In the second year, it was like this, 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 and this. In the third year, I'm not sure I'm going to do it. But the list seemed to look like it grew longer each year. But they were written down, and I can know what I should be doing. It's important that longtime board members don't assume that new board members know how it's always been done. Or a new board member might be new to that school community and they're not going to know how everything's always been done. You know, we've heard too that there can be changes, but as a new person, it's not good to come in with the idea that, like Noah had said, that there's going to be positive change happening now. So, and ministry. The ministry can bring a long-term, big-picture perspective, especially if you have those three-year boards. They turn over rapidly. But the ministry have attended meetings year after year after year, and they know history behind some of these stories, some of these situations, and they can give you wise perspective. So take advantage of that, the ministry's long-term perspective. The delegation of tasks. So at the board meeting, when it's decided that something needs to be done, what you should do is assign right away who will be doing it. Because if you don't, you'll be, you know, reassigning it next time. Do small repair tasks immediately after the meeting if possible. A few little things to be done. They can be done in 5 minutes if everyone goes to it after the meeting. Now, some jobs are bigger, and then it's good idea to plan when you will do it. Principals. One of your jobs, I think, is reminding us board members, if something's not getting done in a timely fashion, then remind us again. That's a good help. There might be times when no one on the board feels capable to do something, especially if it's a larger repair on the building. The board members themselves might not feel capable to do it, and that's a really good way to not get something done, is assign it to someone that thinks he can't. So there is a place for hiring professionals to lead out in a work if the board members themselves don't feel capable. Accountability. So as boards, we are accountable. Minutes are a good reminder. Many is the time when I've heard minute meetings being read and you see someone give a little jump and write something down and you know that he's remembering what he was supposed to have done. So, minutes are important. Dave Troyer at Christian Aid Ministries always said if there's no minutes, there was no meeting. We can make decisions as a board and they can get written down in minutes and then 4 meetings later they're lost in the minutes. And so I suggest that if you make an important decision that is supposed to be there for a long time, you should consider having a policy book besides minutes. That's a lot easier to find, even a policy book with an index or with this alphabetical order, so that you can refer to the policy book. And then, you know, if when you're making future decisions about something, refer to that policy book and see, has this already been thought through? Has this already been decided? There's no sense to reinvent the wheel. So I'd like to open it up now. There are various structures that work, but is there something that you have found within your own school board experience that has been an improvement over how you had done it before? I didn't give you much time to think. Yes?
Just going from handwritten minutes to typed up and emailed out to everybody. Maybe no one's that far behind.
Well, it's interesting to read hand-minute minutes from longer ago, but... Yeah, there are certain advantages to getting them emailed out. Others can comment on them. It's easier to get it corrected and have it right away the first time. Anything else that you have, you know, that you have changed as years have gone by and you feel it's been an improvement to your structure, just to make the board work better? I'm just curious, how many of you would serve on a small three-man school board? Is that still common? So, how many of you are on... For example, five-man school board. So that's becoming much more common. So if you are on a three-man school board in charge of a large school, you do need to remember that it's important to think, to seek wisdom from others, and to think for the collective group, not to do what you and your other two members think for that year. Still keep that big picture in mind, every decision. I talked of the policy book, and I look forward to our next talk then, which is going to look into that more deeply. Thank you.